All right, so today's text, we're just going to jump right into the text here. Today's text is John 20, verse 19 through 21. So if you want to pull up your Bible app or open your Bible, whatever you read God's Word out of is fine with me. John 20, verse 19 through 21. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So Mark has asked me to preach twice in the past 6 months. The last time was the Sunday after Christmas, and this time it's the Sunday after Easter. So I can't tell if he just wants people to hear me or not. But I got to think to myself, the same problem that I had the Sunday after Christmas was like, what do you preach on after Christmas? And so I thought to myself, what do you preach on after Easter? So I was reading the story of the Bible, and what comes next? Pentecost. And there's no way I'm preaching about Pentecost to a bunch of Baptists. So that's just, so I'm not doing that. But when Jesus rose from the grave at Easter, he declared that even the guarantee of death could not withhold life from those who followed him. He took away every last worldly worry that we have, or that we should have. At Easter, Jesus took away every worry that we should have. We don't have to worry about death, which we worry about. But come on, we worry all the time. It's a week after Easter, and I'm sure we've all worried already. For instance, Walker and I went to go see Avengers Endgame on Friday on our day off, and the entire way driving to the movie theater, I was just worrying, going, there is no way that there's a ticket available. Like, we're going to get there, there's not going to be tickets, but we got our tickets, so that was nothing that we actually had to worry about. So we got our tickets, and I thought to myself, every time I go to a movie theater, I sit next to the loudest person on earth. And so I was sitting there going, oh, we're going to be sitting next to all these loud people. There's going to be so many people. But there was no one there, really. Like, no one sat next to me, and no one sat next to Walker. So if you want to go see the Avengers movie with a low attendance amount, go during the day. But everyone else works during the week. So don't tell me not to worry the week after Easter, because we all worry. But when Jesus rose from the grave, he proclaimed with a triumphant boom that we don't have to worry about death anymore. And it got me thinking, if Jesus says that even death is not something we should be worrying about, is there something that Jesus does want to worry about in its place? So I wonder maybe this morning if you can think about, what do you worry about? What do you fear? What occupies your thoughts to the point where you spend your time meditating and thinking about it, and talking about it, and obsessing about it? What do you worry about? We are inundated through our friends, through our family, through media, through society, with things that we should be worrying about. And from what I understand about Jesus, he thought and thinks that there is a wide gap between the things that we worry about and the things that God worries about. And before I do this next thing, I just want to preface this with this. I am one of the most forgetful persons on the face of the earth. Ask anybody. When I was in high school, I remember I told my math teacher one time, I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm pretty forgetful. I remember he looked at me and he said, I'm starting to figure that out. So I'm a forgetful person, but in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we're called to remember. To remember. So, I took some clips from Scripture. Remember his covenant. His disciples remembered what he said. Jesus said, I have said these things so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. He also says, do this in remembrance of me. So let me challenge your memory a little bit. Name one song we sang on Easter Sunday. Choir, you can't answer. It was a week ago. One song. Christ the Lord is risen today? Correct. Good job. Good memory. What gospel did Mark preach out of? It's only four choices. Luke, that's right. Okay, we get the Langstons are on it. Okay, good job, Langstons. All right, where did you eat food after church on Sunday? Everybody remembers that. But I say that because we are forgetful people. We forget all the time. And instead of remembering the things that God wants us to remember, we place them in other categories and we forget and we worry about other things. I wonder if the reason God tells us to remember is because when we don't remember, the gaps that get filled where we should be remembering God, those gaps get filled with worry. We worry, we obsess about things outside of our control, we fixate, we micromanage, we manipulate, we force, and before you know it, we forget. And when we forget, we worry. We forget that God has promised to be God for us. And our memory turns into remembering what we have done for ourselves, like where we went to lunch, instead of what God has done for us and who he has proven to be time and time again. You see, in times of struggle, in times of worry, in times of chaos, in times of crisis, everyone hopes for God. You know, we send thoughts and prayers. We appreciate thoughts and prayers. But what I've told the youth a couple times on Wednesday nights is that there's a direct correlation between your devotion to God outside of crisis and your strength during crisis. There's a direct correlation between your devotion to God outside of crisis to your strength from God during crisis. And so I got thinking, can you imagine an Easter scene in the Bible where Jesus reacted to his trial and his crucifixion the way that we even might slightly react to, like, not or hitting every stoplight, like on the way to work? Like, the reason that it's so powerful sometimes is the Easter story is because through all of those crises, through all of that chaos, Jesus is peaceful. And so I got thinking, how would you react in that situation? And how does Jesus react? You see, to Jesus, his circumstances did not cause him to forget. The reason we see a peaceful Jesus in crisis is because regardless of his circumstances, Jesus remembered who God was and who God called him to be. When we remember that the name of Jesus actually means God with us, we remember that peace, hope, joy, and love were born to us through Jesus Christ. Remember, remember, remember. Last words or departing words, we usually romanticize them. We kind of think like, oh, what were their last words? What was the last thing that someone said to me? We kind of think that they're like the most important wisdom-filled things. And in high school, our headmaster, yes, headmaster, I went to a Christian private school, so we had a headmaster. He would always tell the seniors before they graduated, he'd always say, remember who you are and where you come from. That was always the last thing that he said to us. And so the last thing that Jesus showed us and told us is that death has no power over life. So what did Jesus tell us to worry about? What did Jesus tell us to remember? If I were going to say the two most important things that Jesus would have us remember, it would be these things. First, it would be remember who God is. Right before his death, Jesus had dinner with his disciples, and we remember this day as Maundy Thursday. We celebrate it here at the church. It is at this time where Jesus tells his disciples, every bit of myself I give to you because of how much I care for you. I see and have seen how chaotic life can be for you. I see how much pain the world can cause you. And I see how tempting the world can be. And I see where all these things have led you and where they can lead you. And I want you to drink this wine and I want you to eat this bread to remember that you do not have to live in that dark pit of despair. I want you to remember that in all of history, someone has cared so much about you that they gave every bit of themselves for you. I'm pretty sure he probably looked at Judas and said, yes, Judas, you will betray me. Yes, Peter, you will deny me, but even after all that mess, still does not keep me from pouring out every bit of myself for you so that you will never forget that I have made a promise to Abraham, that I have made a promise to David, that I made a promise to all the prophets, and that I make a promise to you, and that I make a promise to all of you who come after, that I will be your God, and I will lift you up from darkness and into light. When worry shows its face, remember who God is, and remember who you are. And who you are is powerfully cared for regardless of your circumstances. Second, remember what God has called you to be concerned with. So I'm going to ask you guys, I've probably said remember a million times in this sermon here, but I'm going to say it a few more times. Remember when the Pharisees asked Jesus, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And I started thinking to myself, there was this thing that I did, and I'm sure probably most of us did when we were younger, maybe in elementary school, when you start to put things together in the Christian story, I'd come up to somebody, think I'm really smart, and say, do you know that we're related because of, like, Adam and Eve? Like, we're all related. Anybody else ever do that? Nope, just me. Okay, all right. It was an attempt by me, I guess, to show that every single person's significance hung on Adam and Eve. Everything that followed after was because of Adam and Eve. And even in the Bible, everything hung on one's ability to prove that they were in the correct genealogy, that they were part of God's chosen people. So you've got all the genealogies in the Old Testament, and even in Matthew, you have a genealogy that points from Abraham to Jesus, and in Luke, you have a genealogy that points from Jesus to Adam. But it's here, at this question from the Pharisees, that Jesus says, of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, that you love God and that you love your neighbor. If we think of all the things in our lives that we worry about, why should this be the greatest of things? Well, first off, I want to tell you that this does not mean that something like this, like my finances will get fixed if I tell the bank teller that I love them. Like, trouble arises as surely as grass grows and as sparks fly upwards. Trouble is going to happen. This is not a quick fix to all your problems. It's to say that you love people and you love God. What Jesus is saying is that it is at loving God and loving your neighbor that your house is built on a solid rock instead of sand. He is saying that your house, your life, you are going to look at your life a lot differently depending on what your house is built on. When your house is built on loving God and loving your neighbor, your starting point, the very bottom point, is a solid place to start. When your house is built on something else, when your worry is about something else other than loving God and loving your neighbor, your starting point is shaky. And everything that follows will be troublesome, and from the core of your foundation will be worry. In a world where you are inundated with things to be concerned with, ask yourself, have I loved God and have I loved my neighbor? So I say all of that to finally get to today's scripture. What do you preach about after Easter? Well, I started thinking about it and I said, well, it's a pretty important thing, so maybe you preach about it again. The disciples, these regular people, they had lives before they met Jesus. And then they dropped everything to follow Jesus, and they found a new life. And then Jesus was killed, and what life do they have now? There was life with Jesus, there was life before Jesus where I'm sure they had worry. There was life with Jesus where their worries vastly changed. And there was life after Jesus where they started worrying about other things. So we meet our disciples in this story who have now locked themselves in a house, fearful and worried about the repercussions of following Jesus. I'm sure they said things like, I abandoned my family for this man, I quit my job for this man, I lost friends for this man, people think I'm an idiot because of this man. And worry has filled their lives once again. And Jesus walks in and says, peace be with you. And immediately, their concern changes. Immediately, they change from being fearful to being described as joyful. Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. There is life with Jesus. There is life without Jesus. There are concerns that we have about life when we're with Jesus, and there's concerns that we have about life when we're without Jesus. Concerns about life without Jesus, we know a whole lot. We worry about them all the time, as little as a spot at the movie theater, all the way to you name it. And there's concerns that we have about life with Jesus, as they should be, that God gave himself fully for you, and to love God and to love your neighbor. I hope that today you choose to remember who God is and what he has called you to be concerned about. Let's pray. Father, we are forgetful people when you have called us to remember. Father, you know that we are not as strong as we would like to be, Lord. So, Father, give us strength in times outside of crisis, Lord, so that, God, during times of crisis, Lord, we may know how to lean on you properly. Lord, we love, but Lord, let us love the right things, and let us love the things that you would have us love. And the things, Lord, that we would have to worry about, Father, teach us the proper things to worry about. I would ask that you would speak to my heart about these issues. I would ask that you speak to everyone's heart about these issues. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.